You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our session on politics and the church and politicians and the church. We're the Joint Public Issues team. My name's Tom. Rue, what's your name?
I'm Rue.
And we work ecumenically for the Methodists, the Baptists, and the United Reformed Church on matters of social justice and public policy. And one of the things we're really excited to be working on at the moment is encouraging churches to have better relationships and interactions with their politicians, which is not always an easy subject to convince people is relevant, is it, Rue?
You're absolutely right.
But we think it's important for a few different reasons. Politics in this country feels polarised, people feel disenfranchised, they probably don't know the local MP very well, and we think that churches and church groups are some of the most effective local organisations that can build positive and purposeful relationships with local politicians in order to further social justice of all different kinds.
Many of our churches find it a real struggle to do anything political because they're worried that they're going to do something wrong, to offend, or to split their church apart by being political. So we often will say that we do not do politics that's party politics. That's not what we're interested in. And everyone in your congregation, of course, is always free to vote however they wish. That's never the case. But what we think is whoever is voted in, it's important that we establish a relationship with them because they are someone who might hold some power that we might want to have used in a particular way that we think will advance God's kingdom, God's will. So as a church, we encourage our churches, our local churches, to be very much active politically, but not party politically. And it's worth just mentioning that at the very start, because so many of our churches do come back to us and say, oh, we can't do politics. Well, we can do politics, and that's why we're here. So hopefully in this session, you'll get a sense of here are some really good ways and really fruitful ways that your church could be convinced to be a little bit more political without straying into areas where they shouldn't be. All right?
Yeah, and I think the way we would encourage churches to look at this is through the idea of relationship. And that's really because of a quote we like to use in the team, that the difference between noise and influence is relationship. So the difference between the noise of politics that people find turns them off, doesn't make any sense, feels irrelevant to their daily lives, and influence, which is what we want local churches and the church nationally to have on the matters of social justice in our day, that difference is relationship. And the good thing about the system we have in Britain of members of parliament and increasingly of local mayors and local councils that are having more and more power is that we can build relationships with our local representatives in a way that can be really effective. And we've got several stories, one we'll see in a minute, of churches that have effectively built relationship, even though they might not have agreed politically with everything their local MP or their local representative thought about or worked for. But they found common ground and common objectives that they could work on to build the social justice issues that mattered to them.
Lovely. Does that sound good? Yeah. So we'll have some time around tables to develop this further. You might want to share or listen, contribute, get excited. There'll also be an opportunity to hear firsthand from some people who have got experience of this. We're going to have some lovely opportunities to do some craft as well. So those of you who are listening back to the recording, sorry you're missing out on this, but Erica is going to do some little craft activities that we'd love you to join in with a little bit later on. It's not complicated, but it is lovely. And we have a little river at the front that we'll be inviting you to come and, yes, it's a river, to come and contribute to. It's actually just a piece of blue cloth, but it, for today, for these purposes, is a river. Thomas, you're going to lead us in prayer, aren't you? And then we're going to have a look at a video.
Yeah. Father God, we gather here thinking about the messy, messy politics of our country and the messy, messy church that we find ourselves in, and how we can work to build relationships that are positive and purposeful with our local representatives that bring your kingdom nearer here on earth, that bring the politics of justice and of love and of dignity and solidarity that we so long for to our neighbourhoods and to our nation. And we do this in your name together. Amen.
Okay, we're going to have a little video now. So thanks so much, Lisa and Charles, are going to help us to see and hear it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Julia Meeson. I'm a minister in Orkney, of the Orkney Islands Church of Scotland, and specifically Kirkwall East Church in Kirkwall. Our MP is Alistair Carmichael, who's a member of the Liberal Democrats. So what does it mean for us? We added Alistair and Liam, who's our MSP, to our prayer rota, so we pray for them regularly. And also we invited Alistair to join us for our Fair Trade Fortnight service at the end of September. So we're looking forward to hearing from him about fair trade and what it means for him. Working on peace and justice as individuals, as Christians, and as a church involves necessarily working with stakeholders. And this includes politicians as well as local charities and any other organizations that want to work with us. So say Gaza and Ukraine, and as well as local issues. So we want to involve as many folk as possible and work together with them. By inviting Alistair to join us for our Fair Trade Fortnight service and speaking about fair trade, which is really important to us as a congregation, and it's a justice issue, I think people slowly and gradually will realise that we are doing this for a reason, for a purpose, and that is to work on peace and justice issues, which we have been doing for a long time as a church, but also as Christianity in general. That's something that we want to build together.
Thank you so much.
So that was Julia, who, as she said, is from the Church of Scotland, very far away from here in Orkney, but really eager to build that relationship with their local MP. Julia's a church in Kirkwall East, is a member of our Constituency Action Network, which is JPIT's project to make this idea of relationship building a reality for local churches. And she's worked with members of the church as the minister to talk about these issues in her services, and they've resolved to, as she said, meet with the MP, invite him to their services, and start to get to know him and what makes him tick and the issues that he cares about in order to build that relationship. And that's the sort of thing we want churches to be doing.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and I need to ask this question very carefully. You'll understand whenever you hear it. Hands up if you've ever had a relationship with your MP. All these confessions coming out now. I'm not going to ask exactly how you can put your hands down, but it's really good to hear what those are. Most people at most tables have said they have some kind of a relationship with their MP. And we're going to go into a conversation around your table, and there are going to be some questions that have come up. We've got some facilitators at some of your tables. Identify yourselves, facilitators. There we go. If you're not at a table with a facilitator, some of us will come and join you to facilitate those. Or if you're desperately without a facilitator, appoint a facilitator at your table. That would be really good. But the questions will be on screen to try and take us into a little bit of conversation. Let's have a look at those questions now. Thank you so much, Lisa. So question one.
So the first question is, what social action does your church or community do? Now, we asked this because we found that a really good way for churches to start building that relationship is to look at the things they're already doing that they would count as social action. What do we think social action might mean? Lunch clubs?
Lunch clubs, someone said.
Toddler groups? Food banks, yeah, the classic food banks. Very good. You've read the room here, clearly. Yes, eco projects. So lots and lots of different things that your church does that feels like you're carrying out your mission in your community. And this stuff is really valuable. You know, we know that austerity, closing of community centres, community spaces, there aren't that many places beyond churches where social action projects get done. And MPs are really interested in this stuff because it's in their constituency and it helps them to get to know their local people better. So starting on the common ground of your social action project is something lots of churches have done. You know, so for example, if a church is running a food bank, sending a letter to the MP to say, would you like to come and visit? Would you like to see what we do? And would you like to talk about the bigger issue of food poverty as a result of seeing our lived experience on the ground working with these issues? So that's why we'd like to start at that level of social action. And the second question, Ruth?
If you've got any time after you've talked about those things, we've got 10 minutes to do it, you could maybe talk about what's giving you hope, perhaps hope in your community, hope for things that your church has been involved in, or hope for things that are happening outside the church that the church is joining in with, perhaps. So we're going to give you 10 minutes to do that, if that seems okay, and then we'll draw you back after that. We're not going to get you to report back from each table straight after that, but it would be useful if the facilitators would take a few notes, if there's anything that comes up that you think might be useful to share a bit later on. All right, so 10 minutes, and we'll talk to you again at 20 past. I was just at a group of three, and we just about covered those questions, so sorry if we're moving you on too quickly, but there'll be another chance to continue that conversation in just a little while. And if you've been making a few notes, that's great as well. All right, Thomas, do you want to talk to us about the next video?
Yeah, so we've got another clip to watch now. This is a video that JPIT released earlier this year. It's talking about the Constituency Action Network, which I already mentioned, and about how and why your church might be interested in getting involved. I'm hoping it's hopeful and inspirational and shows you a slice of the sort of work that the Joint Public Issues team as a group is doing as well.
Hi, I'm Christine.
And I'm Alex.
One of the most well-known stories told by Jesus is the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know how it goes. A person is attacked and left for dead at the side of the road, and a couple of religious people hurry on past one after the other. But a Samaritan, a stranger from a different place altogether, shows compassion, bandaging wounds, finding a place of safety, and ensuring that help is provided. And Jesus asks the listeners, who is the neighbor in the story? And the listeners rightly reply, the one who treated the person with compassion. So Jesus says, go and do the same to his listeners, to us.
One of the questions we don't often ask is, what happened the next day? What if another person got attacked and injured on the road? What if there was another compassionate stranger helping them? What if there was a whole network of compassionate strangers helping people all up and down the road? Surely eventually they start to wonder why. Why do people keep getting hurt? Why is there so much injustice? Why do things keep going wrong?
And Martin Luther King Jr. addressed this in his famous sermon saying, on one hand, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside, but that will only be an initial act. One day we must come to see that the whole Jericho Road must be transformed so that people will not be constantly beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway. His point wasn't to devalue the hard work of the Good Samaritan whose social action saved a life. Instead, he was pointing to a network of Good Samaritans who add social justice to social action, transforming the road and changing the highway.
What might it be like if churches joined together to transform the road, to transform lives? We believe that every church has experience, knowledge, and power. We also know that local stories speak powerfully to national policies. What if we could build a national network of local relationships that enabled churches to grow and share experience, knowledge, power, and relevance across the whole of Britain?
Our denominations are made up of churches that have amazing ministries of witness and evangelism. Churches that welcome asylum seekers, churches that host food banks and community hubs, churches that eat together, churches that inspire and empower children and young people, churches who go to protests, churches who sign petitions, churches who have eco-church awards, churches who visit members who need support or company, churches who pray for peace and justice, churches who are huge and faithful, churches who are tiny and faithful. Each church has a message to share. How much stronger would that message be if each church spoke in our own unique voices, in our own local areas and constituencies to the people who have political power to change the road, to enact justice.
If that one Good Samaritan had spoken to someone about the need for change, it might have made a tiny difference. But imagine the transformation that 3 or 33 or 303 Good Samaritans reshaping conversations might have inspired. And imagine if those many Good Samaritans were members of communities that shared their concerns and were made up of even more voices. Imagine the transformative power that 650 churches, one in every parliamentary constituency or every community, could inspire.
We have the power to make change happen when we collaborate and form relationships.
The Constituency Action Network, CAN, is about forming relationships that have the power to reshape the road, to take part in God's journey towards a new world of justice and peace. If you already have thriving relationships with your local politicians, CAN's an opportunity to inspire other churches and to strengthen the network's collaborative work by helping us to learn more about the relationship and the public issues that matter to your church. If you would like to grow a new or improved relationship with politicians, or to simply think differently about politics and to work for peace and justice, CAN is an opportunity to be resourced by the network as you make that next move.
So that video gives you a little bit of a flavour about what we've been trying to do to network churches together that are earnestly seeking to do this. You might be from a church that is, as was mentioned in the video, a small church. It might be an overworked church. It might be a busy church. It might be a church that's tired. People who say, please don't give us yet another thing to do. Please don't ask us to join something else. Surely not one more thing. We're already maxed out doing all the stuff we're already doing that we need to do for our community because no one else is doing it. Please don't ask us to do something else. I find it a real privilege that we share this space, the URC and Trussell. And I know that Trussell are working so hard. You might think of Trussell food banks, but Trussell want to be an anti-poverty charity. They are an anti-poverty charity, and they don't want to have more and more food banks. What they would love is to have no food banks. They want to do themselves out of a job. For Trussell to move away from food banks completely and think about other areas of poverty that need to be stopped. So with that in mind, I think about all these churches, all of our churches that are so busy doing these really important things for our communities, and we're getting tired and it's getting harder. Something else needs to happen. And that's why we've talked about in the video going upstream to find out what we can do about the problem in the first place, not just to be part of the solution at the end point, but to go upstream to seek those who have the power to make a positive difference. So what we're not really asking churches to do is to do more. What we're asking them to do is to try and stem that flow, to bring that flow to an end, that need that we are constantly pouring out and pouring out and pouring out into our communities, that they actually have a system that works for them, a system in which they can flourish and thrive on their own, where they perhaps don't need the church to do some of those things anymore, that the whole community benefits from that. And sometimes the church is the only space in that community where everyone can come together, everyone can be heard, and where maybe there's enough energy and enough working together for those voices and those concerns in the community to truly break through some of the deafness sometimes we find in our politics and actually to make a difference. So that's why we've suggested this, even to those churches which are finding it really tough to do the things they're currently doing. We're not asking you to do more, but to think about what could we do slightly differently, which might make a really positive difference for us in the long run.
Yeah, on our table earlier, we were talking about this whole range of different social action work that gets done, from eco-church to language classes for refugees and food drop-ins and working with people with disabilities, all sorts of things. And that idea of what do you already do and can already be proud of as a church, it can be really hard to identify that this is a success. And having somebody, a local politician, to come and visit can be a real morale boost, actually. It can show you that this is really great stuff and it's not being done elsewhere. And a local politician shows that they care about this and it matters to them. And that's why you should be proud and it matters to you. So we're hoping it can be something that churches can find complements the things they're already doing. It's not just one more thing to reach out to their local politicians. The upstream, downstream idea comes from a quote, which I'll now paraphrase, from Desmond Tutu. Why would we look at the bottom of the downstream of the river? We need to go upstream to look at why people are falling in the first place. What are the root causes of the injustices that we work on? So I think that's what we want to talk about next. Could I have the next slide, please?
Yeah, so it's an opportunity now to go around our tables in conversation again. The first question we're going to ask is, how do you go upstream or up the road? How would you, in your church, perhaps think about what could we do to go upstream or a bit further up the road, like that Jericho road in the video?
Yeah, and the second question as part of that, how can you use your existing social action that we talked about earlier as a conversation point, as something to invite your representative to, something to show that your character and your love as a church, how do you show that to your decision makers locally to influence them?
I'm Erica. I also work for the Joint Public Issues team. And I'm now just going to hopefully try and instruct you in a short craft activity. It is optional, you don't have to do it, but it is quite nice as an opportunity. Just take some time to reflect on the conversations you've been having. So what we're going to do is we're going to make some origami paper boats. You may have made these before, in which case that's great and you can help the other people around you. But they should end up looking something like this. And we have a river at the front and we'll encourage you to come and bring your boats. And what we want you to do is to think about the specific things that are happening in your church or your community, which are social action projects or groups, and then how you can translate that into your upstream political campaigning, engaging with your MP, all those things that you've just been talking about in your second conversation, and to write that on the other side of the boat, maybe in a different colour pen. So you do have instructions on your table. You're welcome to start and follow the instructions, but we'll also do a demonstration.
Okay, while you're doing it, we will have a funny live demonstration, which should be fun. So everybody, Erica, my glamorous assistant, is going to demonstrate. Step one, start with the rectangular paper. Place the paper flat on the table in a vertical position. Make sure it's neat and uncreased. Fold the paper in half. Fold the paper from top to bottom to form a rectangle. Press the fold firmly and unfold slightly to see the center line. Can we see your center line? Oh, not yet. Oh, there we go, center line. Step three, fold the top corners. Bring both top corners down toward the center line, forming a triangle shape at the top, which I think looks like a paper airplane. Are your corners folded? Are we folded? Very good. We finished step three at the front. Woohoo! Step four. Fold the bottom flap up. Fold the bottom edge of the paper upward on both sides, covering the lower part of the triangle. Both sides. Fold both sides of the bottom up. So can you rotate, Erica? You haven't done the bottom bit yet. Are you going to do it? Okay. So you can see that Erica has folded both sides to make a little paper hat. Are we all roughly in line with step four? Would we like a bit of time to get there? Oh, well, I can't hear you as a rabble. Who is at Erica's point of at step four? Put your hand up if you've reached the end of step four. Okay. I think we give it another minute. Okay, we'll go on to step five. Tuck in the side corners. Fold the small side corners inward neatly to secure the flaps and make the shape clean. We've got a very pretty little boat. Fold the small side corners inward neatly to secure the flaps and make the shape clean. It now should look like a triangle without sticking out bits. That's very good, sir. Do you want to hold yours up? Excellent. Round of applause for this man who's managed to get to this step based off my instructions. Has everyone done it? Okay. And final step. No, not the final step. Step six. Carefully open the bottom part of the model to form a square shape. Flatten it gently. So you pop it open. And step seven. Pull the top corners apart. Hold the top corners and slowly pull them outward to begin forming the boat shape. If it doesn't look like the prettiest boat, that's okay. The metaphor still works, doesn't it? Yeah. Step eight, shape the boat. Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll read step seven again, sorry. We've got the diamond, everyone, and we hold the top corners and slowly pull them outward to make it into the boat. So now it's a very little diamond. So a small triangle, and even a hat for a smaller person than before. And step eight, shape the boat, adjust the folds and flatten the bottom so it can stand up. And I would say at this point, if your boat does not quite look like Erica's, that's okay. Flatten it out so you can write on it, because we're going to move on to the writing bit. Remember to flatten the diamond so it's a smaller diamond. I can see boats looking pretty good, guys. Well done. I'm quite proud. And flatten the bottom so it stands up.
Okay, great job with your boats. Can you just wave them in the air if you've managed to make it? If not, you can take it home with you and you can keep going. If you've managed to make your boat, or you've got your piece of paper anyway, please write, on one side, like I said, anything specific to your church or community in terms of social action. And then on the other side, ideas for what you could do next on social justice, campaigning, whether that's signing up to the Constituency Action Network, for example. Or you could, get in touch with a local campaigning organisation. Whether you need to send an initial email to your MP, set up a meeting, anything like that that's come up in your conversations. And then if you bring them to the front, you've got a couple of minutes to do that and put them on the river.
We're going to ask each facilitator at each table if you have anything you would like to share that came up in conversation that you thought would be useful to share with others. It doesn't have to be tricky or simple. It can be somewhere in between. But if there's anything that you came up with in your group that you wanted to share, Simeon.
So we had a really good conversation about the value of listening and creating spaces where people could be heard and have their voices heard. And that's something that churches can offer in communities and also offer to politicians as something that politicians should be paying attention to. So that was one thing. The other friend on our table talking about also the value of Christians getting involved in the political process as candidates and involved in parties as well. And that also being a helpful thing, a helpful way that you could go upstream.
At our table, we had some great conversations and we talked about how it's really important to do relationship, but it can be very hard when your local councillors and local MPs argue a lot and are not of the same party. And that challenge is one of the things the church can take on really well. It was also said that it might be quite hard to have hope, but we're called to do it anyway. And this is one of the ways that we can.
I'm Steve over on this table. And our table had from all different parts of the country doing all sorts of different kinds of social action. But I think none of us had particularly invited the MP to observe any of that. So just the value of inviting MPs to see what it is you're doing. But also, and there had been examples in the table of churches and individuals writing to their MPs and not necessarily getting the warmest or the most personable replies, more this is the policy of our, rather than anything particularly personal. And I was just trying to say, I think that's where this comes back to the relationship being fundamental as a difference. The difference between noise and influence is relationship. That sometimes we can make a lot of noise and write to our MPs and meet them at their constituency surgeries. But actually, if the congregation has a relationship with that MP, then their inclination to reply in a more personable way might be exponentially increased. And one of the ways to start that we discussed was the possibility of inviting your MP and perhaps the leader of your council or other members of power within your community, whatever that might look like, to come to your church service on a Sunday and be interviewed in the service about what motivated them to public service, what they see as the priorities of your community, what they see the church contributing to that, whether it's what you're doing now or what you might be able to do in the future, not in a sort of a, we're here to lobby them and tell them what we think of them and their policies, but in a way of truly listening. And people love talking about themselves, don't they, and about the things that motivate them. So to be able to give them the opportunity, and they'll love that because they love meeting communities of diverse people in their constituencies, so it'll be a high priority for them as well. And that can be the springboard to building a stronger ongoing relationship with your MP, whoever they are.
Yeah, and I think on our table some similar themes came up, including kind of the difficulty of how approachable your MP is, depending on who they are, but also that taking small steps to engage with them is still really important. We also talked about kind of the role of councillors in the local versus the national, and how they're kind of intertwined, but that churches don't have time for everything. And that working alongside other organisations such as ecumenical and interfaith groups is really helpful and a good way to start engaging with your MP and having some stronger collective power at a local level to engage with them.
We had a little discussion about the benefits of writing to MPs and hearing both from avid writers as well as on the other side where... from the MPs and the sort of all the letters and the people who are responsible for answering those emails and how those in greater number they will filter through to where they need to get to.
We had two interesting points. One in terms of what MPs can do. Obviously, there's the writing to them about specific issues. But also don't underestimate their ability to intervene in very discreet and specific issues on behalf of members of the congregation, say, in relation to eviction or issues where essentially an organisation, especially if it's a council, is acting potentially illegally, or just copying in an MP or an MP simply being involved in that process, things will get resolved much quicker, and being aware of that as an option to escalate a particular situation, and that's a way in which you can build a relationship with them. And that is an area where they have a lot of power, more so potentially than the national level. And we were talking about the national level and then potentially the sort of macroeconomic constraints and the ways in which that's really difficult to solve things. But then we said, actually, well, culture is really important as well, and people's values and fundamental orientation towards nature and the most vulnerable. And maybe that's actually where the church can contribute in Christianity in terms of those conversations about fundamental values and more Christian participation in politics would lead to a different view in society and filtering through those political levels.
I'm from Northampton, very close, and I was interested in what somebody was saying about the collective power of ecumenical groups. In Northamptonshire, we have an ecumenical eco-church group. We got together to help each other, support each other through our eco-journey. And we found that that's been very supportive, but also that we can make contact more easily with our local councillors and our MP. And we've got some events coming up, including a screening of the People's Emergency Briefing, which our MP has agreed that she will come to, presumably because she knows that we're not just one church, we're a group of churches working together. So that's been of interest. If you're a Northamptonshire church or you represent a Northamptonshire church and you want to talk to me about joining the Northamptonshire Ecumenical Group of Churches, please do.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing all of those conversations and thoughts with us. Just to say, as we wrap up the session very quickly now, if you are interested in any of the work that we do in JPIT, there will be someone standing at the table just over there. You can see the public issues banners. And please do take some resources. There are some flyers and leaflets and things like that. So please do that. But I'm just going to pray for us as we finish this session. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together this afternoon to pray and share together about engaging churches with our politicians. We thank you for all of the Greenbelters today who are passionate about justice and want to bring their church communities and local politicians together. We pray for all of their MPs individually. We pray for our churches to continue to work together for a just economy, for climate justice, to centre the marginalised, to welcome refugees, to promote kind and truthful politics, and to work for peace. We pray for continued hope in our activism, and that even in this age of polarisation, conflict and suffering, our local churches will continue to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming. All that needs to be said is, this is a really tricky thing to get right, and we understand that. We would love to work with you, journey with you, support you in trying to do this upstream work. We know it's not straightforward, and that's why we're here. So if you are interested, please do visit our website or go and talk to us, jpit.uk/can, C-A-N, is where you can get more information from us. Thank you so much, everyone. Hope you have a really, really good rest of your festival. Bless you.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.